أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, recite the salawat. For his health and well-being, recite the second one louder. And inshallah that we all become his true companions and soldiers, recite the third one even louder. There's a chapter in some of the main books of hadith that we have, such as Al-Kafi. And there's even books written on the topic of Al-Ghaib, the occultation. There's a couple of chapters in Kitab Al-Hujjah of Kafi that address the topic of Al-Ghaib, the occultation of the Imam of our time. In one of the ahadith in the chapter in Al-Kafi, we read a hadith which is very important. The narrator of this hadith is Mufaddal ibn Umar, one of the companions of our sixth Imam, Imam As-Sadiq salamullah alayhi. He quotes the Imam saying, قال أقرب ما يكون العباد من الله جل ذكره. The closest that a people, the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, could be to him. وَأَرْضَى مَا يَكُونُ عَنْهُمْ. And the situation and the position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be most pleased with them is إِذَا افْتَقَدُوا حُجَّةَ اللَّهِ Jalla wa Az, that if they, or when they, are missing and they don't have the hujjah of their time amongst them, it's talking about us. During the time of Imam As-Sadiq salamullah alayh, they had the Imam amongst them. It's very important for us to understand the Imams made it a point to prepare the ummah, prepare the believers, prepare the Shia for the time of the occultation. It was part of their agenda. They did many different things, including talking to the Shia about that time. They spoke to people that would have never experienced that time. Mufaddal ibn Umar, the longest probably that he lived, was probably the time of Imam al-Kadhim or the maximum Imam al-Ridha. We don't have him living up to the time of the occultation. But these reports, these narrations were reported to the generations after, and they got the reports, the information about what to do and how to react to the time of the occultation, especially the time of the major occultation, which we're in. It says, the situation in which the servants of Allah are going to be closest to Him, what they can do to seek His proximity most, to please Him most, in a situation where the hujjah of their time is not available to them. They don't have access to Him. They cannot speak to him. They cannot go to him. What shall they do? Or what is it in this situation that can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most? وَلَمْ يَظْهَرْ لَهُمْ وَلَمْ يَعْلَمُوا مَكَانَهُ. They don't know where he is. Is that وَهُمْ فِي ذَٰلِكَ يَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ لَمْ تَبْطُلْ حُجَّةُ اللَّهِ. First, that they are confident, they know for a fact that there will not be a time that there is no hujjah of Allah on the face of the earth. Remembering, knowing, being aware constantly of the presence of the hujjah of the time, the imam of the time. It is something for us to be aware of on a regular basis. وَلَا مِيثَاقُهُ. There is never going to be a time where there will not be a hujjah of Allah and a mithaq of Allah, the oath of Allah that he has had, that he will have an imam amongst the people. Then the imam says, فَعِنْدَهَا. What they do, the first thing was, knowing the fact that there is no time, that we don't have a hujjah amongst us, and secondly, فَعِنْدَهَا تَوَقَّعُوا الْفَرَجُ صَبَاحًا وَمَسَاءً. At that point, what these believers do, what these servants of Allah do, that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most, is that they expect, they anticipate the coming of that hujjah صَبَاحًا وَمَسَاءً. Every morning and evening. This one idea at the beginning of the hadith was knowing and being aware of the fact that there's always a living imam. Don't forget that. On top of that, not just the fact that I know there is an imam, but the fact that I need to anticipate the uprising of that imam on a regular basis, twice a day, the beginning of the day and the end of the day. That means it's talking about a responsibility, brothers and sisters. Don't just be aware of such an imam, the existence of the imam, but expect the coming, the arrival, the uprising of the imam. There's a difference between the two. We have a list of dua, a long list of dua on the topic of the faraj, of the coming of the imam. I'm sure many of us have got some of these duas memorized. One that we always do is what we started this session with, Allahumma kulli waliyika al-hujjat ibn al-hasan, in which we ask and request for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep our imam in good health, to guide him until he takes over the globe, the uprising. We mention that, we remember that. And it's interesting. I'm sure at least a lot of us don't know that this dua was actually not one that is only specific to the imam of our time. This dua was introduced by the Holy Prophet at his time. And it was supposed to be done, especially during Layal al-Qadr. On Laylatul Qadr, in the month of Ramadan, one of the duas that has been told, we've been told, to recite that anytime you get some free time, when you don't have anything else to do, if you want to do something that pleases Allah, recite the dua, dua al-faraj. Allahumma kulli waliyik. Now at that time it would be remembering and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give good health and protect the Prophet, afterwards Amirul Mu'mineen, then Imam al-Mujtaba, Imam al-Husayn, all the way until the Imam of our time. We are the people, we are the ma'amun, we are the followers of the 12th Imam Ajjalallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. We have other du'as, some of them sounding a little different. Ilahi Azum al-Bala, for example. In that du'a, we are expressing that we're missing our Imam. We're having problems because he is not with us. Now I'm sure a lot of us just read this du'a, just like all the other du'as that we just read, recite, sometimes maybe we listen to a du'a that is done in a better voice, sometimes in a normal voice. Nevertheless, it's just reciting and reading and repeating those words without really feeling what we are saying. Sometimes the wording is like that. We're talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and telling Him we're missing the Imam. Because of the Imam, we don't have the blessings that we should have. Some of the du'as are not called du'a ul-faraj. The title of the du'a is in a way more important than just du'a ul-faraj. Because although it doesn't state the fact that it's about faraj, the coming of the Imam, the uprising, but it entails that. It includes that with it. But it gives us a more important message, and that is, or those are the du'as that are called du'a ul-ahd. Du'a ul-ahd is a very important du'a. Some of the passages that we are supposed to be reciting include the following. It's a very interesting du'a. We're recommended, we're advised to recite this du'a. For those who haven't had the blessing and the advantage of being able to recite it, I strongly recommend, or the Ahlul Bayt, I should say, strongly recommend for us to recite this du'a. Read it and contemplate. Try to reflect on it. Try to understand it. Understand what we are saying, and then say those words, say those Arabic words, after having understood it from the bottom of the heart. After asking and requesting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give the Imam our salam and give the salam of all the believers wherever they're at to the Imam, we then say what the title of the dua is. Dua al-ahd means the dua of the pledge. We are pledging something with the Imam in this dua. Say, Allahumma inni ujaddidu lahu fi sabihati yawmi hadha. Wama ishtu min ayyami ahdan wa aqdan wa bay'atan lahu fi unuqi. I want to, on this day, redo the ahd, the pledge that I have with my Imam. وَعَقْدًا وَبَيْعَةً, the allegiance that I have with my Imam. We as the Shia, we believe that the Imam of our time is the only one that we actually have allegiance to. We don't have allegiance towards anyone else. He is the only one that we have allegiance to. And of course, if he has any form of representation, which maybe we can talk about some other time, then that's something that obviously any of his representatives, when the Imam of the time, Amir al-Mu'mineen Salamullah alayhi, for example, had representatives in other cities like in Egypt, or in other regions like in Egypt, like in Medina, in other parts of the Muslim Empire, Well, obviously, we have a duty and a responsibility towards that representative. Now, whether we have that now or we don't, and what form that is, that's a different topic. The allegiance that we have with the Imam, brothers and sisters, we have that in this dua, we remind ourselves of this pledge. We remind ourselves of the responsibility that we have towards the Imam of our time. Because the fact is, there's been a lot of people that have claimed to love and be the followers of the Imams. But actually sticking to and accepting the allegiance with the Imam is something that is very rare to find. Very rare to find. لا أحول عنها ولا أزول أبدا. I will never turn away from that allegiance. We're telling the Imam, we're not like the people of Kufa, that they pledged, but they went against it during the time of Amirul Mu'mineen. We're not like the people that were present in Ghadir, that pledged allegiance, but went against it. اللهم اجعلني من أنصاره وأعوانه والذابين عنه والمسارعين إليه في قضاء حوائجه. These are important words. Do we really mean them? Make me of his helpers, Ansar, those who help him out in carrying out his activities. وأعوانه والذابين عنه. Again, similar words that are said. وَالْمُسَارِعِينَ إِلَيْهِ فِي قَضَاءِ حَوَائِجِهِ. Make me one of those that rushes, hurries to carry out what he wants. وَالْمُحَامِينَ عَنْهِ وَالْمُسْتَشْهَدِينَ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. Make me one of those that is going to be reaching the rank of shahada, giving their life up along the side of our Imam. This is what we're requesting. If you don't mean this, then don't do this dua. If you don't mean to be like those who on the day of Ashura stood in front of the Imam of the time, took 13 or more arrows with their bodies to protect the Imam and allow him to pray, if you're not willing to do that, don't recite this dua. Because that's what you're saying here. I want to give my life for the Imam of my time. It's easy to say that. Easy to think about it maybe, if we don't really try to comprehend it. If we don't really consider ourselves in such a position, it's easy to say that, yeah, of course we're going to do that. But it's not easy to actually do that. We carry on that, اللهم إن حال بيني وبينه الموت الذي جعلته على عبادك حتما مقضيا فأخرجني من قبري مؤتزرا كفني شاهرا سيفي مجردا قناتي ملبيا دعوة الداعي في الحاضر والبادي. If you take my life before the coming of the Imam, I want to be one of those that is resurrected in this world to help my Imam and then become shaheed alongside my Imam. Then we request seeing the Imam. Allahumma arini al-tal'ata al-rashida. Person who is anticipating, remember the hadith that we did at the beginning of the session, what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the absence is a person wanting and expecting and anticipating the arrival of the Imam. In other words, in the heart, one has the feeling of longing for, wanting, loving to be in the presence of the Imam. This is another of the du'as that we have. A third du'a that I want to talk about briefly to get to the main point is du'a un-nudbah. Today was Friday. Now the Arabic days start with Maghrib and end with Maghrib. So technically, we're not on Friday anymore, although we call this Friday night, but it's actually the eve of Saturday according to the Arabic calendar. Fridays are a special day of remembering the Imam of our time. Every day we are supposed to remember, but Fridays are special. There are a few du'as that we have that are specially designed for Friday. One of them is du'a un-nudbah, which we'll talk about briefly. And the other one is another du'a that some like to call it ziyarah. I like to call it ziyaratun nudbah, which is not a very well-known du'a or ziyarah. That one's found in Biharul Anwar. Anyhow, du'a un-nudbah is usually done, and of course, it's very unfortunate that due to different factors, it is not one of the more practiced du'as in this part of the world. A lot of people miss out on it. I remember when, I'm sure you all, or many of you at least, should remember Ajay Tehrani, Sheikh Murtaza Agha Tehrani, that used to be in Imam Ali Center. We used to visit him when we were in Washington, would come up here and visit him sometimes. He had it as a custom here, as a tradition, on Friday mornings, whoever could make it, they would have du'a un-nudbah. It's a very important du'a, very interesting. The name of this du'a itself is important for us to recognize and understand. Du'a un-nudbah is the du'a of crying. The time that they usually say for us to do it is at sunrise. Now, there are certain traditions, a hadith, that tell us that the uprising of the Imam, the coming of the Imam, is going to happen on Friday. Now, we have other ahadith that suggest otherwise, but whether it's because of this, that we have woken up on a Friday morning and the sun has risen and the coming of the Imam is not evident and apparent, and because of that we are sad, or it's just a weekly reminder of that, that during this week we did not see the coming of our Imam. In this dua, one of the objectives of the dua is to make you and us cry. How does it do so? The dua begins by reminding us of the previous prophets. The line of guidance that started from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came down to the first man on the face of the earth, Adam, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, and then the following prophets all the way until the holy prophet. That is talked about. Then it starts to describe our holy prophet and what he did, and introducing Amirul Mu'mineen alongside the holy prophet while the holy prophet was alive. The battles that were fought by the holy prophet, and Amirul Mu'mineen playing a very important role in that, which led to, according to the dua, led to the people having a feeling of hatred towards the Imam. Then it starts to talk about Amirul Mu'mineen after the passing away of the Holy Prophet. So it starts to talk about the Imams and what the people did what the response of the people was towards the, what the attitude of the people was towards the imam and the imams afterwards. After talking about Amir al-Mu'mineen himself in particular, then the dua generalizes. It says, لَمْ يُمْتَثَ الْأَمْرُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ فِي الْهَادِينَ بَعْدَ الْهَادِينَ. The order of the Holy Prophet in relation to, in regards to the imams after him, was not respected. وَالْأُمَّةُ مُصِرَّةٌ عَلَى مَقْتِهِ. The ummah of the Holy Prophet, the nation of the Holy Prophet, was very keen عَلَى مَقْتِهِ, on angering the Holy Prophet, on raising his wrath. مُجْتَمِعَةٌ عَلَى قَطِيعَةِ رَحِمِهِ. They gathered together on cutting off the rahim of the Holy Prophet, staying away from the relatives of the Holy Prophet. وَإِقْصَاءِ وُلْدِهِ. And staying away from his children. إِلَّا الْقَلِيلِ مِمَّنْ وَفَى لِرْعَايَةِ الْحَقِّ فِيهِمْ. Except for a few that upheld the right of the children of the Holy Prophet. فَقُتِلَ مَنْ قُتِلْ وَسُبِيَ مَنْ سُبِي وَأُقْصِيَ مَنْ أُقْصِي. What happened with the progeny of the Holy Prophet is that those who were killed were killed. فَقُتِلَ مَنْ قُتِلْ وَسُبِيَ مَنْ سُبِي. Some were taken as captives. Imam al-Sajjad salamullah alayhi. وَأُقْصِيَ مَنْ أُقْصِي. A number of our imams were put into exile. Imam al-Kadhim salamullah alayhi. Imam al-Ridha, Imam al-Jawad. The last few imams, all of them spent their lives in exile. It talks about the treatment of the people, the nation of the Holy Prophet, towards the imams. And it insists, this dua does, on the idea of crying for the Ahlul Bayt. A passage that follows is, وَعَلَى الْأَطَائِبِ مِنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلِيٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمَا وَآلِهِمَا فَلْيَبْكِ الْبَاكُونَ. Upon the great people of the progeny of the Holy Prophet and Ali, عليهم السلام وعلى آلهم السلام. Then, فَلْيَبْكِ الْبَاكُونَ. Those who cry, those who know how to shed tears, they should be shedding tears. وَإِيَّاهُمْ فَلْيَنْدُبِ النَّادِبُونَ. And only for them, you should be shedding tears. وَلِمِثْلِهِمْ فَلْتَذْرُفِ الدُّمُوعَ. For the likes of them, the tears should be trickling down. وَلْيَصْرُخِ الصَّارِخُونَ وَيَضِجَّ الظَّاجُّونَ وَيَعِجَّ الْعَاجُّونَ. For the likes of them, you shouldn't be just crying, you should be shouting. All the atrocities, the oppressions that came about upon the Ahlul Bayt. Recite the salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Sometimes when we remember the atrocities upon the imams that we have, upon Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi, the Lady Fatimah al-Zahra, Imam al-Mujtaba, Imam al-Husayn, the following, the rest of the Imams. Some of us, when we hear those, what causes us, what breaks our heart, and what we need to hear is the physical oppression that took place, the brutality that took place. They need to be reminded of what happened behind the door in regards to the lady Fatima al-Zahra in order to shed tears. They need to be reminded of what the door did to the body of the lady Fatima al-Zahra. According to some reports, what happened to the child that she was carrying, they need to be told of that. They need to be told how Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi's hands were tied when all of this happened. They need to be told that on the 21st or on the 19th of the month of Ramadan, the Imam was struck with a sword. They need to be hearing the words that describe how the Imam was looking and feeling physically. They need to be told of the poison that was given to Imam al-Mujtaba and what it did to the internal organs of the Imam to the extent that he was coughing up blood. They need to be told of what the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt did in Karbala to the sons of the Imam, to the brothers of the Imam, to the companions of the Imam, to the Imam himself, before we begin to cry. But brothers and sisters, I think the reality of the matter is that the oppression that took place, the treatment that the people gave to the Ahlul Bayt, the grief that it should cause, the physical part of it is not the most difficult part to take. They say when Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayh was getting closer to the time that he would be meeting his Lord, and he was wounded, he had received a lot of strikes from the swords and the stones that were thrown and the arrows and the spears. He's weakened. Towards the end, he's off the horse. Sometimes when they called, for example, for the enemies to loot the tents of the Imam while the Imam is still alive, the reports say that he dragged himself on his knees to call out to the people that I'm still alive. Although that was the case, they say when he was getting closer and closer, his face would be glowing more and more. You could see happiness and joy in his face. The physical pain wasn't something that they really felt. When Amir al-Mu'mineen received that strike, he didn't call out that I'm in pain. He said, "Fuztu wa Rabbil Ka'ba." It's not the pain, the physical pain. I'm sure when the lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha received the mistreatment, was disrespected behind the door, the door was knocked down on her, and she was hit with the lash, I'm sure the pain of that was not comparable to the other form of oppression. Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayh, this man that is full of ghira, the right of ruling over the people, the right of the responsibility of being responsible for the ummah, being responsible for the guidance of the ummah, being responsible with or for keeping away oppression from the ummah and the nation of the Holy Prophet, the command of Allah, that being taken away and the religion being misled in the wrong direction, the efforts that the Holy Prophet made throughout his life to propagate this message and watching that deviate, if we understand that, that is the real oppression. That's what made them feel the way they did. When Amir al-Mu'mineen talks about the 25 years that he was not allowed to take on the responsibility that he had, he says, I was patient during that time as though I had a thorn stuck or a bone stuck in my throat. Okay, that was painful, 25 years. That is painful. When he talks about this, he says that's painful. When he receives the strike, he doesn't say I'm in pain. He says Fuztu wa Rabbil Kaaba. The oppression that the Ahlul Bayt faced, we need to go beyond needing to hear the physical oppressions to feel the sorrow and the pain of the Ahlul Bayt. Now, the dua talks about this. The dua that is supposed to be crying for the Imam of our time, reminding us of the Imam of our time, it reminds us of the previous Imams. And it wants us to cry for them. The sessions that we have, brothers and sisters, to commemorate the Imams, and to cry and to shed tears for the Imams, is something that we have as a teaching from the Ahlul Bayt. We're supposed to do that. However, what is the objective of that? What is the objective of crying for the Ahlul Bayt? What is the objective of talking about the atrocities in Karbala and shedding tears for that? There are people that have done that. There's an interesting report. On the day of Ashura in Karbala, that is something to warn us. It comes as a warning. And I hope we all take it as a warning. It says, one of the enemies says this, on the day of Ashura, says, I was moving away from the camp, from our camp, the enemy's camp, towards Kufa apparently. Some of you at least have been to Karbala, you know where I'm talking about. They have the tents of the Ahlul Bayt on one side and the enemy is on the other side. You have the stream on this side. And there are some little hills here and there around it. From a distance, he says, behind or on top of one of those hills, I saw a few people. I saw a few people that were watching the scene. They were watching what was happening to the Imam, Imam al-Hussein, salamullah alayh. And they were crying. They were crying. They were doing exactly what you and I do. They were shedding tears, watching the actual scene. We hear it, and we shed tears. Imagine what would happen if you would actually see it. They were seeing it and shedding tears and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to curse the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt. asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help them. This person says, I went to them and said, may Allah curse you. If you think he needs help, then what are you doing back here? Go and help the imam. Crying for the Ahlul Bayt has got to lead to awareness. We've got to learn from the lives of the Ahlul Bayt, how the people treated them, how the people that pledged allegiance to the Ahlul Bayt treated the Ahlul Bayt. What happened that only 6 months after Imam al-Mujtaba salamullah alayhi became the Imam, and the people of Kufa, all of them, pledged allegiance without being forced. All of them. They came and pledged allegiance to the Imam. For 4 months, the Imam didn't do anything against Muawiyah. After the 4th month, he started a campaign against Muawiyah. That means, out of the 6 months, there's only 2 months that these people are actually engaged in preparing for a battle. It takes 2 months for these people that pledged allegiance to the Imam to surrender to Muawiyah and cause the Imam to accept this truce with Muawiyah that caused some of his own companions to call him Ya Mudhillal Awliya. What happened there? These are lessons for us to learn. Inshallah, we'll be talking about them. Because unless we learn these lessons, all these du'as that we do are useless. These du'as for the coming of the Imam, when we request him to come, when we request Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring him to us, are very similar to the letters that were sent to Imam al-Husayn, right? People sent letters to the Imam telling him to come. That's basically what we're doing. We're asking him to come. We're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring him to us. If we're not ready for him, we're going to do the same thing. And that's exactly why the Imam is not amongst us. Because we are not ready. The reason, the important reason why in Dua al-Nudbah, which we're supposed to be reciting on a weekly basis, there's a constant reminder of the previous Imams, is for us to keep that memory fresh in our minds. Not just to feel sorry for a people, for good people, and cry for them, but to remember the mistakes of the people and learn from them and make sure we don't make those same mistakes. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alaykum ya أهل بيت النبوة وموضع الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Ahlul Bayt. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. It was in your homes that the angel of revelation, Jibreel, brought down the revelation to the Holy Prophet. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. The angels used to come to you day in and day out and used to seek your permission before they entered upon you. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdillah. Sallallahu alayk ya mazlum ayyuha ash-shahid bi Karbala atshana. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Imam al-Husayn, my beloved oppressed Imam, the Imam that was slaughtered by the shores of the Euphrates while his mouth was dry of thirst. Sallallahu alayhi. Inshallah, in the near future, we all have the blessing of being present in Karbala. Visit the shrine of our Imam. Visit the shrine of Aba al-Fadl al-Abbas. Visit those little shrines of where the hands of Aba al-Fadl al-Abbas fell to the ground. That we visit the Mukhayyam of the Imam, where the tents of our Imam were. That you visit Tallu al-Zainabiyya and remember what happened there. History tells us there came a time in Karbala that your Imam, brothers and sisters, looked to the right and to the left. Habib is not there any longer. Zuhair is not around. Ali and al-Akbar is no longer there. Qasim is gone. Aba al-Fadl al-Abbas is gone. He shouts, هل من ناصر ينصرني. Is there anyone that will help me. هل من ذاب يدب عن حرم رسول الله. Is there anyone to protect the family of the Holy Prophet? He would go back to the tent. He said his farewells. He would come back and fight. Some report that every once in a while he would go close to the tents and announce, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Pointing and signaling to Zainab, I'm still alive. But a time came that they didn't hear that any longer. What has happened to my brother Al-Husayn? All of a sudden they heard the sound of a horse. My brother has come. They went outside the tent to see the Jannah is there, but it doesn't have its rider on it. The Imam is not there, but there's plenty of arrows on the horse. It's filled with the blood. Zainab starts shouting, Wa Muhammadah. She starts running. She arrives at Dhallu Zainabiya. Those who've been to Karbala can picture the distance between Dhallu Zainabiya and where the Imam was slaughtered. The Lady Zainab arrived there to see وَالشِّمْرُ جَالِسٌ عَلَىٰ صَدْرِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم بالزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها بك يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى محبة أوليائك. والله we ask you by the rights of the Ahlul Bayt that you hasten the return of our Imam. والله we ask you by the rights of the Ahlul Bayt that you enable us to be of his close companions. Wallah, we ask you by the rights of the Ahlul Bayt that you prolong the life of and give good health to all of our maraja and especially the leader. Wallah, we ask you that you forgive us all of our sins, that you forgive our parents and all those who've taught us a word in Islam of their sins. Wallah, we ask you, there's many people and believers under oppression in different parts of the world and different forms of oppression. We ask you by the rights of the Ahlul Bayt that you relieve all people of the oppression they're facing. Wallah, we ask you by the rights of the Ahlul Bayt that you relieve all the believers of the hardships that they're facing. بالنبي وآله رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة مع الصلوات.